Okay, Chevra, so as you know, we're learning Masechta Sukkah, and last time we learned, we encountered a Mishnah on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us something about a Sukkah Midrash Lelas. The Sukkah Midrash Lelas, there was a discussion in the Gemara exactly what it meant, but according to the position that gets the most play, a sukkah midrash lelas is a sukkah that's kana ole kana yore. In other words, it's like two different levels of sukkah. And in that case, the Gemara says that the sukkah is going to be kosher. And the way the halacha concludes, the sukkah is going to be kosher even if there is considerable space between the upper level stach and the lower level stach. So basically, what I could have is a few different levels of stach. I can have higher stach and lower stach, and they are very far away from each other, but it still is going to be kosher based on a principle called chavot rami. The principle of chavot rami tells me that I can drop a ceiling. That if you have a ceiling, it's very high. Allows me to just drop that, ceiling. That's Chavot Rami. And this principle of Chavot Rami, the Gemara learns, is applicable to halachos of Tumah. For example, right? We know that a Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a corpse. We also know that a Kohen cannot be in the same ohel as a corpse. So if I have an area, right, we spoke about this last time, about the front of Mount Sinai. If you remember, it's like a different roof than the inside of the building. But effectively, the principle of Avot Rami tells me that if you have an entire area that is covered, but there's a higher area, a higher ceiling, and a lower ceiling, and the tumah is under one of them, so the tumah spreads the entire thing. The halacha drops the ceiling, makes it all the same level, and then the tumah spreads to this entire area. We pointed out that this principle of chavot rami, the way it emerges in halacha, is slightly different for purposes of tumah than it is for purposes of sukkah. For purposes of sukkah, we say that we only drop the upper ceiling if it is an exact snug fit in between the two levels of schach. We only drop the upper schach if it fits in exactly. So if I have, let's say, a 3 foot area that's empty, and there's a 3 foot thing of schach higher up, I drop it to fill it in exactly. That's Chavot Rami by Hilchos Sukkah. That's why the Rambam paskens. By Hilchos Tumah, we pasken Chavot Rami, but it's slightly different in Tumah than it is by Sukkah. In Tumah, the upper ceiling can be slightly bigger than the gap between the ceilings. Is this clear, or do I have to go back to draw pictures?
So by sukkah, there can't be any overlap.
So by sukkah, there cannot be any overlap. That's correct. By sukkah, we only apply this rule of chavot rami when the schach above fits snugly into the area beneath, and there is no, right, there's no space at all between them. That seems to be the halacha.
Rabbi?
The way it makes it to Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Sukkah. Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it stand to reason that theoretically, at least theoretically, that you could have, I mean, since you're not going to get it exact, like in terms of snug, that as long as it's smaller, but not by more than three tefachim?
So what you're pointing out is as follows.
Can I say it a little clearer?
No, I think that you're borrowing my line. Yes, you are right. In other words, but let me elaborate on what you're saying a teeny bit more.
Okay.
The Kesef Mishnah understands that when I say with respect to Sukkah that I only drop the higher ceiling when it fits in snugly, what that means is the higher ceiling cannot overlap beyond where the lower ceiling is. So if the higher ceiling is 5 feet and the gap between the ceilings is 3 feet, then I cannot say Chavot Rami. However, if the upper ceiling is 3 feet and the gap between them is 5 feet, then the Kesef Mishnah says we might be able to say Chavot Rami. Right? The halacha, the way the Kesef Mishnah says it, not everyone agrees with this. Not everyone agrees with this. But the Kesef Mishnah is saying that this rule, that it has to fit snug, is only that it can't be wider at the top, but it could be narrower inside. Some disagree with the Kesef Mishnah. The Lechem Mishnah jumps up and down and he spits wood and nickels and like he gets all excited. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out that in Yosef's case, everyone would agree that it's okay. Meaning, if you have a upper schach that is not exactly snug with the hole, with the space between, but there is less than three tefachim on each side, which is the halacha of lavud, then all would agree it's okay. That, I think, is what you were... Am I translating what you were trying to say?
Yes, that is what I was getting at.
So that's a very good point. That's what I wanted to get to, but you got it before me. So, okay, what can we do? Never. So these are some of the halachos that we learned last time, the halachos of Chavot Rami. And Rashi commented that the halacha of Chavot Rami is the same as the halacha of good achis mechitza. According to Rashi, just like I have a mechitza, if I have a vertical, the halacha allows me to extend it up or to pull it down. So also, if I have a horizontal, the halacha allows it to go up or down. If you assume that the halacha of Chavot Rami is the same as good achis, so then the halacha does not have to be that it fits exactly snugly. The way Rashi presents the halacha, it's just we draw mechitzos up and down, and the halacha allows us, like a mechitzos elastic in halacha, no? So if I have a mechitza, it's 10 tefachim over here, I can pull it up, 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 so that it touches the stuff. Once I have a mechitza, elastic, it goes up, it goes down. According to Rashi, chavot is the horizontal. The horizontal can be dropped, but that's exactly the same as raising the vertical or lowering the vertical. It's just if you have functional fixedness, so then you don't recognize the horizontals and verticals are all the same. But horizontal and vertical, according to Rashi, exactly the same. If that's the case, it should not have to be snug. Once I'm saying that horizontal and vertical is the same, so I'm just drawing my mechitza up and down, and it does not have to be snug, and everything is grand. These are just some of the points I left over from last week. Any questions, comments, observations on what we did last week, or should we move on to this week's piece of Gemara?
Just one, just to muddy the waters a little bit. Does anybody relate this to P-Tikva Yored V'Sotem as well? Or is that...
P-Tikva totally... Yored V'Sotem. P-Tikva Yored V'Sotem. Is that... Again, obviously there's a certain commonality in terms of, you know, taking the chitzas and dropping... P-Tikra, though, seems to be governed by different rules. I'm not 100% sure why not, but P-Tikra, Rashi and Taisus have a disagreement that we might only say P-Tikra when you have three complete mechitzos, and you're only saying it on the fourth side. P-Tikra, we might not say if it's a slanty roof, right? We only say if it's flat. It seems to be governed by slightly different rules. I'm not sure why that would be. Logically, I think what you're suggesting makes a certain amount of sense, but on the other hand, Like, none of this makes any sense. On the other hand, we're dealing with halacha l'moshe misinai of mechitza. And Rashi's idea that, you know, chavot rami is the same as good achis, who says? Right? The Gemara told us, like, on daf, hey, wherever it is, that there's halacha l'moshe misinai of sukkah for dofen akuma and for gold. It doesn't say anything about chavot, right? Does that mean that chavot is an extension of gold? It's not exactly clear. It's not clear at all, but obviously it seems to me that the disagreement in Rishonim about whether we only say chavot, where it's exactly snug, might relate to this question as to whether chavot is an application or an extension or the same din as good. Or, on the other hand, maybe chavot is a totally different halacha. That's basically what we're getting at. I think I dodged your question, Ilan. I don't think I really answered it. I wasn't planning on really answering it because I don't know the answer.
Fair enough.
Okay. Zach the Gemara. Vishetzilata miruba mechamataz ksheira. You see it? I just scrolled up the page. The Mishnah tells me that if I have a sukkah and there is more shade than sun, it is kosher. Shetzilata miruba mechamata ksheira. The Gemara says, ha, this implies, ki hadodi psula. If you have more shade than sun, it's kosher. What about if the shade and the sun is exactly the same? In that case, it would be puzzle. Right? It's kosher if you have more shade. If you have the same amount of sun and shade, then it's going to be psula. However, the Gemara asks a question that we have a contradictory inference. Let's not be idach pirkin, but we learned in the first perek, Vishachamosa meruba mitzilasa psula. In the previous perek, we saw that if it's more sun than shade, it's no good. Huh? That implies ki hadodi ksheira. That implies that if the same amount of sun and shade, it's going to be kosher. Right? So again, Sugma has a contradiction. Our Mishnah says more shade than sun is kosher. That means if you have the same amount of sun and shade, it's pasul. The Mishnah in the first parak says, more sun than shade is pasul, implying if it's the same amount of sun and shade, it's kosher. Well, which one is it? Right? Which diyuk is correct? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, it's not difficult, kan no mala, kan no mata. One is talking about from the top. The other is talking about from the bottom. Amar Rav Papa, Hainu de Amri Inshi, Kezuza Mila'el, Keistira Miltachat. Rav Papa says, this is the expression that people use. Hainu de Amri Inshi, this is what people say. If you have a Zuz, a small coin up on top, it's going to end up being an istira, a big coin at the bottom. Now, effectively, the Gemara has a contradiction. What's the halacha if you have equal amounts of sun and shade? The Gemara answers, well, kan milamala, kan milamata. There's a difference between whether the equal amount of sun and shade is it on the top or is it on the bottom, meaning, am I looking at that space right underneath where the schach is? Or am I looking at the ground, at the floor? That's the way the Gemara resolves the contradiction. However, the Rishonim disagree as to how we understand this bit of Gemara. When it's on top, it's one way. When it's on the bottom, it's another way. What does that mean? So let's look at Rashi. Zok to Rashi. Kan mo mala, kan mo mata. You see the Rashi, I just scrolled, it's like the top line where I scrolled to. The case that if you have equal amount of sun and shade, that it is pusul, that's talking about up on the top. If you have the same amount of airspace as schach, even if it's an exact amount, it's no good. It's exactly the same amount of empty airspace and schach. It's going to be puzzle. Lefi shechamata avir near eight ba'aretz rechava harbe min hatzel shel schach. Because the sun appears on the ground much wider than the shade of the schach. Meaning, if you have an equal amount of sun and shade up at top, so when the sun breaks through that schach, the sun will spread out, and then when you're sitting at your sukkah table, it's going to be sunnier than shady. There's going to be more sun than shade. Even though all the way up on top, you have equal amounts of sun and shade, but because that sun will spread out, so it's going to be more sun than shade at the bottom, and therefore the entire sukkah is puzzle. Even if I'm 6'11" and my head is mamish right up against the schach, but the entire sukkah is puzzle, because the halacha views the definition of more sun than shade as being based on ground level. More sun than shade on ground level is a problem. So even though it's equal amounts up on top, but lemaisa, it's going to be puzzle. Because at ground level, if it's equal on top, there'll be more sun than there is at the bottom, because the sun spreads more. And Rashi continues, v'hada daikinan ki adadik sheira nakit shi'ura melmata shechame v'tzeel shaben biyadua shakanem rechavim min ha'avir. When we say that, when we infer that if you have equal amount of sun and shade, that it's going to be kosher, that means if I have equal amount of sun and shade at the bottom, because if it's equal amount of sun and shade at the bottom, based on our very precise mathematical formula that the sun spreads out more at the bottom, so if you have equal amount of sun and shade at the bottom, that will mean that you have more schach up on top, that you have more shade on top, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So if I have more shade at the, if I have the same amount of sun and shade at the top, it's puzzle, because in that case, there'll be more sun at the bottom. But if I have equal amount of sun and shade at the bottom, then it's going to be kosher, because that shows that I have more shade on the top. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And then Rashi says, Kizuza mila el kistira mila tachat. That means when you have kishanekev rochav kishir zuz, when you have a hole that is the size of a zuz, chamaso meruba lamata kishir sela. Then there's going to be more sun at the bottom, the size of a sela, the size of a bigger coin. That's the Gemara according to Rashi. Now, we can come back to Rashi a little bit later. There are certain nuances within Rashi that require a little more explanation. But the basic point of Rashi is that I determine more sun than shade, or more shade than sun, based on ground level. And therefore, even if I have equal amounts of sun and shade at the top, since that will mean that there is more sun than shade at the bottom, that entire sukkah is puzzle. But if you have equal amounts at the bottom, then the entire sukkah is going to be kosher. That's the way Rashi learns Judaism. So far, so good. Tosfos quotes the Rashi. By the way, this Tosfos, it begins Kamomala, Kamomata, and it goes on Kezuza. But effectively, that whole Tosfos Kan is just a verbatim citation of Rashi. And Tosfos just continues. He just quotes Rashi, Rashi, Rashi. He says, Kach Pirish Bekuntris. This is what Rashi says. V'hikshu Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by Akasha. Dirav Papa Gufei Dehacha Islei Imperakama De'erivin Parutz Ka'omeid Mutter V'hasam Nami Paskinan Hilchasa Achi. Rav Papa, who is the authority in our Gemara. If you go back to our Gemara, this line about how a small coin at the top ends up being a big coin at the bottom, that's Rav Papa's statement. Tosfos is bothered by the kasha that in Maseches Erevin on Daf Tesvav, Rav Papa tells me that Parot Ka'omeid. Parot Ka'omeid is as follows. Let's say I'm building a mechitza. I'm building a wall. So to build a wall in Shabbos, or there are other areas of halacha where there's a mechitza also, let's say by Kelayim, you have a mechitza. By Sukkah, you have a mechitza. You build walls. And if you have more omeid than parutz, there is more physical material than empty space. Omeid merubal ha-parutz, that's going to be kasher. Parutz merubal ha-omeid is pasul. If you have more empty space than you have built up, then it's going to be pasul. But I think this is relatively straightforward. If you have more built up space, that's a mechitza. That's ome merupa. If you have more space that is, you have more space that is not built up, that's empty, that's parets merubala ome, that's not a mechitza. That's pretty straightforward. What about if you have exactly the same amount? Parets ke omeid. You have exactly the same amount of built space and unbuilt. So that's machlokes in the Gemara between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. Rav Papa says a parutz ka'omeid is good. Rav Papa says if you have exactly the same amount of built up and empty space, that's going to be kosher. That's Rav Papa. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua says, no, it's not good. The Gemara over there in Erevin tells me that they're arguing, it's like a funny type of machlekes, they're arguing about what's the nusach of the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai, and he received not only the Torah Shebiksav, he got the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah Sheba'al Peh includes halachos of mechitza. What did Hashem tell Moshe exactly? What were God's words? Did God say, Lo tifrots meruba? Did God say, don't have more empty space? Or did God say, make sure you have more filled space? What exactly did God say? What was the nusach of the halacha Moshe Misinai? Hechi agmer rachman ala Moshe. That's the way the Gemara in Erevin says it. Okay. Now, obviously, by the way, this Gemara is making an assumption which is not so clear. The assumption is that you can have exactly the same amount. No? Parets Ka'omeid assumes that you can, what we call in Halacha, Efshar L'Tzamtzim. You can have exactly the right amount. It's not so simple that this is correct. Right? Can you have things exactly the same, exactly 5 feet of standing wall, exactly 5 feet of empty space. Is that possible? Don't we usually assume that Iyashal is Samtzim? So that's a whole discussion. It could be that Bidei Adam, right? It's different than Bidei Shamayim in terms of whether I assume Eshal is Samtzim or not. The question of whether I could be exact also depends on what degree of precise measurement is necessary. No? When the halacha says, for example, my tefillin have to be square, what does that mean? Does it mean it has to be square to the naked eye? Does it mean it has to be square with a ruler? If it has to be square, then I measure with a ruler to what degree of precision? To the millimeter? To the, what's smaller than a millimeter? I need some math people, but how many decimal points of exactitude do you need? None of this is clear in halacha. One thing I know for sure is that today we can have more precise measurement than our great-grandparents had. I'm sure that my tefillin are more square than my grandfather's tefillin were. My measurement is more precise. I also know that sometimes this can lead to kulas, because since I could be more precise in my measurement, I'm going to, before a fast, they know that the fast begins at 5:58 in the morning, and I'm going to be eating at 5:57. No? If you don't have precise measurement, so then you're going to have to be strict. You're not going to say, oh, well, you know, it's not the fast yet. You'll have to be strict. We have more precise measurement, but this is all on the side. Let's bring this back home. Rashi says that when I have equal amount of sun and shade up at the top of the sukkah, an equal amount of schach and empty space, what's the halacha according to Rashi in that case? Kosher or pasul? Crickets. So the halacha is according to Rashi, it's pasul. If you have equal amount of sun and shade, it's pasul. Why? Because Rashi says that the sun spreads out and you're going to end up with more sun at ground level. Okay, great. Frech Taisvis, but 1 second. The author of the statement in Argamah is Rav Papa. And Rav Papa himself holds Parut Ke'omeid is okay. And if you have equal amount of built up and empty space, it's going to be kosher. So frech taisvis. Hey, Rashi, dude, how can you say that if you have equal amount of space, right, equal amount of schach and empty space, that's going to be pasul? How can you say that, Rashi, if Rav Papa himself says, pardon me, if Rav Papa himself says that Paretz Ka'omed is kosher? That Tysus is kasha. It's a strong kasha. So comes along the Rush. The Rush in R. Perek and Simon Gimel. The Rush says, I can answer Rashi. You see, the rule of Parot Ka'omed, the Rush says, is a rule in Mechitza. Mechitza for Shabbos. Right, in the sense of going this way, vertical, mechitza for sukkah, vertical. But when I talk about the horizontal of a sukkah, even though the horizontal of a sukkah, the schach of a sukkah, shares certain similarities with mechitzos in general, like we were speaking about 10 minutes ago, but still, it's got to be more shade than sun. Meaning, the rule of Parutz Ke'omeid, that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that if you have equal amount, the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, according to Rav Papa, that if I have equal amount of shade and sun, that's going to be kosher, That halacha l'moshe misinai is not completely true by sukkah. It's true insofar as for the mechitzos of a sukkah, for the vertical walls of a sukkah, it's going to be true. But the horizontal, the schach of the sukkah, so that's based on shade. So paratz ke'omed, again, I'm reading a little bit into the Rush's explanation of Rashi, or the Rush's answer of Tysus's kasha, the Rush's defense for Rashi, is that the rule of paratz ke'omed makes it a mechitza. So it's a mechitza, great. But that's not enough to be kosher as a sukkah. Just because it's a mechitza doesn't mean it's kosher. To be a kosher sukkah, it also has to be more shade than sun. And this rule that I have, that equal is okay, that is only true with respect to the halacha of mechitza qua mechitza. But it's not true with respect to the mechitza insofar as it has to provide shade. That is the way Rashi makes sense. Do I have to elaborate on this more? Does this require extra clarification? I'm never sure when things are quiet. That could mean that, this is obvious, we got it, or it could mean Schwartz, we don't want to insult you, but we don't understand the word that you are saying. I'm not sure which one it is. Okay. I'm still not sure, but I'm going to move forward on the assumption that what we said until now is okay. Effectively, what emerges from this analysis is as follows. Rashi holds that the schach of a sukkah has two dinim that apply to it. One din is the regular halacha of mechitza. Schach has to be a mechitza. When I have regular din of mechitza, so I talk about paratz ka'omed, etc. But there's another din. That other din is that schach has to provide shade. And therefore, when our Gemara says, if I have equal amount of schach and empty space, it's no good. It's no good, according to Rashi, based on this other rule, the second din, the halacha that schach has to provide shade. That is Judaism, according to Rashi. Let's go on in Tysus.
Wait, but how did those two things that Rashi just said coincide?
Well, I think they are... There are two separate qualifications, and they both have to be met. In order to be a kosher sukkah, you have to both have a halach, the schach has to both have the halachos of mechitza, and it has to provide shade. So you can have shade without the halachos of mechitza, and that's no good. You can have the halachos of mechitza without shade, and that's no good. Rashi says you need both. Tysus, however, says that if you are halachically a mechitza, that means that you are, for purposes of schach, providing shade, and that's good enough. So when Rav Papa says that paratz ke'omeid, when Rav Papa says that if you have equal amounts of shade and sun, it's going to be a good mechitza, that means it's also going to be a good schach. Aye, schach has to provide shade. Well, Tysus is going to say that the shade it has to provide could be shade towards the top of the sukkah, not shade at the bottom. Rashi says that the shade has to be at the bottom, you need shade when you're sitting in the sukkah at the bottom, right? It's not bird's eye view, it's ant's eye view, right? When the ant is sitting there, the ant has to feel like he's in shade. That's Rashi. Tosfos either denies this extra halacha of shade, or Tosfos is saying, yeah, we have this extra halacha of shade, but that halacha is judged based on the space right near the schach, rather than based on the space at the bottom. Those are two possibilities of understanding the dispute between Rashi and Tosfos. Let's go on. Va'od kasha. It's the third wide line in Tosfos. I can't scroll up anymore, but if you look in the Tosfos that begins Kazusa, the third line, Va'od, is two words before the end of the line. Va'od kasha. The Amar Parakama de Kedushin, the Avdi Inshi, the Karle, Pau Gesa de Zuza, Istira. Alma, Istira, Pachos, Mizuza. Tosfos' second kasha is as follows. The way Rashi learned the Gemara, you have a small opening at the top, you have a Zuz, a small point at the top. You're going to end up with a ton of sun at the bottom. It's going to be Istira, right, at the bottom. It's going to be like a bigger coin at the bottom. Tosfos asks, Rashi, an Istira is a bigger coin? It's not. An Istira is half a Zuz. Therefore, right, the Istira is going to be smaller than the Zuz. Rashi is saying that the stuff at the bottom is bigger. Tosfos says, no, it's not. The stuff at the bottom is smaller. The Lashon of the Gemara, the expression of the Gemara, is Azuz up on top and Istira down at the bottom. So Rashi says, oh, the area at the bottom, the sun will spread out more, will diffuse more. Tosfos says, 1 second, it's an Istira. An Istira means it's smaller. Comes along the Rush, and the Rush answers, right, and we should all know this. What's bigger, gentlemen? Ladies and gentlemen, what is bigger? A dime or a nickel?
A nickel.
A nickel is bigger. Agreed? What's worth more, a dime or a nickel?
A dime.
A dime. That's right. So what does that mean? That means, says the Rush, that it could be that an Istira is a half of a Zuz, but it's a bigger coin. Just because it's worth less does not mean it's larger. And the way the Rush says it is that the Zuz was made out of silver and the Istira was made out of copper. And something that's made out of copper, right, is going to be worth half of what something that's made out of silver is worth, but it will be a larger surface area.
So you're saying that the Rush is trying to defend Rashi?
Yes. Right, the Rush is deflecting the questions that Tosfos asked, right? Just like we saw earlier, that Tosfos asked a question from the rule of Paretz Ka'omed, and the Rush defended Rashi. The Rush said, Paretz Ka'omed doesn't prove anything, because that's a halacha of regular mechitzos. Over here, there's an additional halacha that you need shade besides the din of mechitza per se. That's one point in the Rush. The second point that the Rush makes is to answer Tosfos' second question. Tosfos' second question is that an Istira is a bigger coin. Tosfos' second question is, excuse me, Rashi, you're telling me an Istira is a bigger coin, an Istira is worth less? That's what Tosfos asked. So the Rush answered, well, you could be worth less and still be a bigger coin. Some of the other Rishonim say that maybe they're dealing with two different currency systems. That already gets complicated. Like we're comparing currency of this country to currency of a different country, or maybe it's two different size of cryptocurrencies. I'm not exactly sure what any of this means, but that's what the Rush says. Okay. So Tosfos has these two kashas on Rashi, and this leads Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam. This leads Tosfos to come up with his own explanation. Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, Kamil Mala, Pe mi shemode ta'avir momala ki hadodi kishera. Lefishu omeid kiparutz. Aval ha'omeid momata ba'aret uma'ayin kalape maila. Vidome ki hadodi psula. Lefish ha'avir shu rachav kizuza. Dome be'in of katan ki istira machmas shu rachok mimenu. Viraya ledavar vanihi ve'inenu kachagovim. Tosa says like this. As a matter of halacha zaktaisis, if you have equal amount of schach and airspace, it's going to be kosher. However, it's only kosher if you are measuring it from the top. Because when I measure from the top, I know exactly that I have the same amount of schach as airspace. But when I'm measuring from the bottom and I'm looking up, I'm taking my eyes and I'm looking, and it seems to me like there's equal amount of sun and shade, equal amount of schach and empty space. In that case, it's no good, because the Taisa says that when you look for something far away, it appears smaller. So even though it appears to you like it is equal amounts, it might not really be equal amounts. That's what Tosa says. Now, Tosa says a proof to my idea that when stuff is far away, it looks much smaller, is the pasuk about the meraglim, vanihi ve'inenu kachagovim, that we appeared like grasshoppers. Why? Because they're so far away, we look very small. And you could have a very gigantic star in the shamayim, and it appears very small to us. Okay, so basically, Tosis ends up being the opposite of Rashi. Let's go slowly. According to Rashi, if you have equal amounts of schach and empty space, it is puzzle because the sun spreads out. According to Tosis, if you have equal amount of sun and empty, equal amount of schach and empty space, according to Tosis, it's going to be kosher. But Tosis understands our Gemara to mean that you have to measure from the top, not measuring from the bottom. If you measure from the bottom, there's a concern that because it's so far away, it might look equal, but might not be equal. Now, Tosis is also a little bit difficult just because, well, just like the size of the airspace changes because I'm far away, the size of the schach should also change because I'm far away, and proportionally it should end up being the same. No? Is this true? I need someone who understands the way like fields of vision work. But Tosis is assuming that when I'm at the bottom and I peer upwards, so the airspace will appear larger. One second. It could be that there's really more airspace than schach, but it will appear to me like they are the same amount. That's what Tosa says. That's already worthy of thought. I saw like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and some of the other Svarim, they raised this issue with Tosa, that isn't necessarily correct that we're worried that there's really more airspace than schach. Maybe they're going to be the same amount. Maybe proportionally they will wax or wane the same amount. Okay, so this is the discussion in Rashi and Tosis. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like Rashi. We paskin that if you have equal amount of schach and empty space up at the top, it's puzzle. We have to measure. We have to measure more sun than shade, or more shade than sun, from the bottom, not from the top. That's the way the halacha concludes. We follow Rashi and Shulchan Aruch, not Tosfos. So far, so good? There's obviously more to say over here. The Rush quotes a position that's exactly the opposite of Rashi. Remember, according to Rashi, if you have a tiny amount, according to Rashi, if I have equal sun and shade up at top, at the bottom of the sukkah, there'll be more sun than shade. Right? That's the way Rashi says. You have the same amount of sun and shade at the top. The sun will spread out more. And at the bottom, you'll have more sun than shade. The Baal HaItur quotes his Rebbe that if you have equal amount of sun and shade at the top, so you're going to have more shade at the bottom. That's the opposite of Rashi. And Rashi says if you have equal amount of sun and shade at the top, you have more sun at the bottom. But Itur says if you have equal amount of sun and shade at the top, you have more shade at the bottom. The Karban Nisano on the bottom of the Rush, where they quote this Baal HaItur, he says it's impossible that they are disagreeing in Metzius. The Halacha never allows us to have a disagreement about a reality. Is there more sun than shade? Like, figure it out. Like, do an experiment. You're like, come on, how are they disagreeing about something this basic? Rather, says the Karban Nisano on the bottom of the Rush, and this makes a certain amount of sense, it depends where the sun is. Is the sun directly on top of the sukkah? Is the sun off to the side? It really depends where things are, where the sun is. If that's the case, so then as a matter of halacha, the Karban Nisano writes, a sukkah is only going to be kasher if you know you will have more shade than sun at all times of the day. You have enough schach up on top that you will have more shade than sun at the bottom at all times of the day. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, well, that's a great idea, but if that's the case, we just passed every single sukkah in the planet, no? Because think about it. Now, is it possible that you have so much schach that there's never going to be a time that there is more sun than shade? Highly unlikely, extremely unlikely. If you hold that a sukkah is only kasher, if at all times of the day you have more more shade than sun, that's the only way the sukkah can be kasher. So then effectively you are saying that there's no such thing as a kasher sukkah, and that's kind of inconceivable. Right? That just can't be. Okay. But these are some of the halachos, pardon me, that I wanted to cover with respect to more sun than shade. Again, the pashtus is that we judge, like Rashi says, we pass like Rashi based on what's on the ground rather than based on what's on top. Any questions or comments on this, or should we go on to the next little bit of Gemara? Okay, we are going to go on. Seems like we have a quiet crowd tonight, but that's okay. Tanya Rabbanan, Me'uva Kimin Bayis. The Mishnah says if I have schach that is very thick, like it's a house, and I cannot see the stars, it is still kosher. If you have thick schach and you can't see the stars, it's still kosher. Tanya Rabbanan. Hamu'uva kimin bayis, af al pisha ein hakochavim nirim mitocha kishera. If you have schach that is thick like a house, even though you can't see the stars, it's still kosher. Ein kochve chama nirim mitocha, but if you cannot see the daytime stars, so then Beis Shammai posim Beis Hillel machshivin. Beis Shammai says it's not kosher. Beis Hillel says it is kosher. There are different stars. So right now, it's like basically a minute or two after sunset, or it's not fully dark outside. I'm looking out my window. Again, it's a cloudy day, so I'm not going to see any stars. And I live in New York City, so I'm not going to see any stars because of this light pollution. But there's certain stars that you can see even during the day. Day doesn't mean noon. Day means shortly before nightfall or immediately after nightfall. Bigger stars are noticeable when it's somewhat daylight. Smaller stars are only noticeable when it's really light, when it's really night. Right? This is relevant in halacha, no? When is Matzei Shabbos? When three stars come out. What type of stars? Medium-sized stars. We don't know what's a medium-sized star. So a small star, right? That's the way the halacha says it. Basically, there are big stars, medium stars, and small stars, right? Like, you know, in nursery school, when they had those charts, if you cleaned up well, there's big stars, medium stars, and small stars. Beis Hillel says that if my schach is so thick that I cannot even see a large star, it is kosher. Beis Shammai says that if my schach is so thick that I cannot see a medium star, it's kosher. But, says Beis Shammai, if my schach is so thick that I cannot see a large star, then it's puzzle. That's Beis Shammai. As a matter of halacha, obviously it's machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So normative Judaism follows Beis Hillel. So it's going to be kosher even if the schach is so thick that you cannot see a large star. However, comes along the Yerushalmi, and the Talmud Yerushalmi writes that the Lashon of Beis Hillel is that it is kosher. It is kosher means bidi ever, it's okay. If you build a sukkah with such thick schach that you cannot see a big star, so according to Beis Hillel, it's bidyeved. Okay, but don't do that. Don't build a sukkah that you cannot see a big star. L'chatchila, the schach has to be thin enough that you can see a big star. And that halacha is quoted in the Rishonim, and it makes it to the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Brura quotes it. The lechatchila, the sukkah has to have schach that is not so thick so as to prevent me from seeing a big star. It is not clear, lahalacha, whether according to Beis Hillel, I am supposed to have my sukkah lechatchila. Again, bidyeved, it's all okay. Bidyeved, even if you don't see any stars, it's fine. It's kosher, you yotze. But lechatchila, I'm supposed to build a sukkah that I could see a star. Does that mean lechatchila, I should build the sukkah that I could see big stars according to Beis Hillel? Or should I build the sukkah that lechatchila I could even see medium stars or small stars? That is not clear. The Rashash on the back of our Gemara wants to infer that according to Beis Hillel, it is kosher bidi eved only if you cannot see a big star. But if you cannot see a medium star, it is kosher even lechatchila. The Mishnah Brura writes that lechatchila, you should build your sukkah in a way that you could see small star, medium star, big star. Lechatchila, you should be able to see the stars. Bidi eved, it's kosher if you can't see any stars. Bidi eved, if the sukkah covering is so thick that rain does not get into it. So that's a machlekes Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by some Rishonim as saying that if the coating of the schach is so thick that rain does not get into it, puzzle. The sukkah has to be able to be penetrated by rain. If rain cannot get in, it is puzzle as a sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that we should be concerned with this Rabbeinu Tam, but if you have no alternative and the only schach that you have is so thick that rain does not get into it, it can still bidi eved, whatever, you don't have a choice, still use the sukkah. And there's a question whether you'd even make a bracha on the sukkah in that situation. So again, to just review, the ideal way of building a sukkah is that you should be able to see the stars, but it's not ma'akev at all. B'di'eved, if you can see the stars, it certainly is kosher. B'di'eved, if the rain does not get in, it might be possible. Right? What we spoke about, I think, in the first year that we gave, like probably 2 years ago already, is that someone developed this really fancy type of schach that has one convex and the other concave, right? Basically, if you have alternating convex and concave pieces of bamboo, so rain will never end up getting into the sukkah, even though it's not a thick coating. You could build like a rainproof sukkah. And there's a whole discussion in the modern day poskim about whether such a sukkah is going to be acceptable. This requirement that according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the sukkah has to be penetrable by rain. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, if the sukkah is not penetrable by rain, the sukkah is pasul. Is that only the exclusion of a very thick schach, because then it looks like a house? Or do I assume it's like an absolute requirement that the sukkah has to be penetrable by rain? The second possibility is very difficult, actually. I think most of the mainstream poskim assume that it will be kosher even if rain does not penetrate it because of these alternating convex and concaves. You know what I'm referring to? Like if like the convex, how does it work? Like my glasses, there's the front of the spoon, there's the part of the spoon that I eat with. That is convex, no? Then there's the back of the spoon, which is concave. Is that the correct way? I think I just said it correctly. I'm not sure. But basically, if you alternate those two things, it's possible to create schach that rain will not penetrate. Even so, as a matter of halacha, most assume that's kosher. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, any other questions or comments? Now, Chevra, we've been giving these shiurim on Zoom since for over a year, since the pandemic. And now as things begin to open up, I've been having conversations with Rabbi Hoffman and with Ilan Reiser about the possibility of maybe resuming the shiur in person on Shabbos. Zoom has advantages in that the shiurim are recorded. I will not record my shiurim on Shabbos. But having in-person shiurim has advantages also in that on Zoom, it is harder to attract new members of a shiur. When the shiur is in person, people can just stop by and join the shiur. The disadvantage, of course, on going back to in-person, another disadvantage, it's not just that it's not going to be recorded, it's that people who are no longer living in Washington Heights might not be able to participate in this year. So my preference, again, I'd like to kind of throw it out to all of you, what you think about. And obviously, you know, Mount Sinai would have to approve tables, right? To have like a Gemara shiur when everyone's holding a Gemara in front of them, but you don't have a table, be difficult. So until we're approved for tables, I don't know if it could happen. But my preference would be, unless there is very strong opposition, I think it makes sense at this point. Once we're already, you know, davening without masks and we're already trying to resume shul life as much as possible, I would like to resume the shiur in person. But let's have this conversation electronically online, and we'll be in touch over the week, over the next week, as to how the shiur will continue. So I'm not sure if next Sunday night we'll have shiur. Maybe we'll have the shiur on Shabbos instead. Maybe we'll continue on Zoom for a few weeks. Maybe we'll continue on Zoom for a very long time. That's not my preference. But I'm just throwing it out there that I would like to try to move back to in-person shiurim. And again, I spoke to Ilan and Rabbi Hoffman, and they also were largely in agreement with this. So this is my preference for right now. Okay, Chevra. Thank you for joining. Let's continue. Let's email each other about in person or not. And Yosef, it looks like you have something to say.
No, just you were wrapping up, so I figured I'd
okay. Unmute. Thank you for showing your face. And okay, Chevra, thank you for coming to learn, and have an excellent night. And we'll continue learning Torah. We'll continue learning Torah.
Thank you.
Oh, convex and concave is the reverse. Thank you, Caroline. Okay.
Mm-hmm.